Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Nick and Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roaring every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, how's it going?
It's going good today. Started like snowing pretty heavily like an hour ago. So winds are howling, snow's just falling.
My watch a second ago said it was snowing. I didn't actually look outside because I was
surprised with last night because it was like pouring rain all day yesterday, and just all of a sudden woke up to like at least a couple inches of snow on the ground like this morning. I was pretty surprised at that.
Yeah, we got about 2 inches, and it looks like later this week we could get dumped. I know I was reading like something like 8-10 inches of snow. So I'm done. Jeez. Yeah, I'm done.
Like, I think we're getting like 2 to 4 on Wednesday.
I'll gladly give you our 8 to 10 if you want, and I'll take the 2 to 4 because
at least for you, you get to work from home.
Yeah, but
during the day and your games are going to get canceled.
Yes, but that it just makes my job busier because I have to get up early and do school closings, and it's not fun. At all. Not fun at all. But what is fun is today's show for you. You might be wondering, wait a second, Sunday? What? It's not Wednesday. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to drop into Sundays. Probably about the next 2 months, we'll be on Sundays until right before the NFL draft. And then we'll hop back into our typical Wednesday evening shows. So we invite you to join us each Sunday night here at 8 Eastern. And you can also catch up on your favorite podcasting platform as well. We're on Spotify, YouTube, all of the different ones for you to catch up that way as well. But on the show today, we'll hit some of the news headlines. We have a new trade request from a player that something tells me it's not quite the same level of oomph as some of the trade requests that we've gotten over these last couple of years, but we'll talk about that. And then we're going to dive into the offseason, go through some of the dates and kind of what we expect through all of this before the next couple of shows really going all the way into free agency as well. But first, news headlines. Since last time we talked, Joe Burrow won Comeback Player of the Year. I don't think anybody's surprised by that. But the part that really disappointed me at the NFL Honors was that Willie did not make the Hall of Fame. But he is automatically a finalist for next year, but it's only going to get harder for him.
Yeah, it's a bummer that he couldn't make it. I think that you know, I think we both agree that he's one of the best ever to do it. And I think that his career was kind of overshadowed by years of futility with the franchise. And sometimes that happens. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad he's going to be back on it next year. I think Gino is also eligible to be on next year as well. So yeah, I mean, it sucks. Hopefully we get some guys in soon.
To me, Geno Atkins was probably one good year away. You know, yeah. I think he was probably one good year away from being a Hall of Fame player, and he might, but I mean, it's not like he's a first ballot guy. He'll
no,
be a guy
I don't
that'll
think
be
he is either.
A long time that'll probably take to get him. But the best part about Geno is that when the day comes to put him in the Ring of Honor, he'll absolutely be.
How many Bengals? Because how many seniors end up getting in? Is it they give like two or one or two?
It depends on the year. So
how many Bengals are we going to have get in while they're seniors? Right, like is Chad Johnson going to finally get in when he's
Ken Anderson?
I mean, well, is he already in it now? Is he already in the senior
balloting? Like is Ken Anderson? Yes. Yeah.
No, I'm
Ken
talking
Anderson.
About later down the road. How many Bengals are we going to?
Oh
have?
Yeah.
You already have three probably in Chad. And if Willie doesn't get in during this, like,
you know who I'm going to drop in here now too.
Corey Dillon, the Bengal, I wouldn't put in, but Corey Dillon, the NFL player, I could potentially put in because of the great years he had at New England after he played here.
I mean, listen, he's probably borderline when you look into it, but I don't know. It's just a shame, and I hope one day that the Bengal bias, but also the right tackle bias, can get passed and Willie Anderson can actually get into the Hall of Fame because, well, frankly, he deserves it. He deserves getting into the Hall of Fame. Then the biggest news of the last week, and it's one that I don't know what my first reaction was. I think I kind of laughed out loud when it happened. Justin says he thinks Corey Dillon should absolutely be in. Jermaine Pratt. I guess this was last Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, middle of last week. It comes out. Jermaine Pratt has requested. Hey, that's fine. Will Gino speak to the press if he gets into the Ring of Honor? I don't know. I don't know.
Good question.
Jermaine Pratt requested a trade from the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know what my first reaction was, but I think it was kind of a okay, buddy.
Yeah, I think it's probably just time. I think that we've seen some frustration from Jermaine Pratt, especially this year, in the locker room. You know, you've heard some pressers from him where he's been somewhat combative with the media and it's somewhat.
He don't miss tackles. I don't.
Yeah, it's somewhat in denial if he was playing pretty poorly. You know, his defensive coordinator's gone in Lou Anarumo. You know, maybe it's time, you know, to maybe move on from him, and it's maybe it's time for him to move on from us. Sucks, you know, because I think we've seen some really good years out of Jermaine Pratt. I mean, hell, 2022, I think is probably the best linebacking season I've seen from a Bengals player, probably since Vontaze was at the peak of his game. And Jermaine was just really good that season. And he hasn't played terribly the last couple of years. The production's has dropped off a little bit. But if you just look at the changes elsewhere on the defensive side of the roster, I mean, I think that really explains a lot. I mean, the safety room in 2023, really both 2023 and 2024, has been lacking. So you're not having the back end support you need as an NFL linebacker. And then this past season, you compounded issues even worse with the defensive line being as bad as it was this season. And you're just kind of sticking, you know, Jermaine Pratt in between a rock and a hard place by doing that. Now, against Jermaine Pratt, that is that we saw, I think, a career year out of Logan Wilson this season with those factors in place.
And, I mean, for me, this Jermaine Pratt, this is a you can't fire me if I quit, you know, kind of thing. The Bengals, they can save $5.6 million, and we'll talk more about this later with Jermaine Pratt.
And if you could get a trade out of it, like get something out of the guy, you? Right? Yeah.
You're not going to be getting, I know I heard somebody, I think it was James Rapine, he was reading some social media comment that said, oh, trade him for a fourth round pick. Like, if somebody wants to trade a fourth round pick for Jermaine Pratt, I will single handedly move Jermaine Pratt to wherever the hell he wants to go. Because there's no way. There's no way you're getting a fourth round pick for Jermaine Pratt.
Yeah, I think you'd be lucky. Yeah.
You'd be lucky to get a sixth round, I think.
I think maybe a late fifth. Maybe like a late fifth, early sixth, I think is probably what you're hoping for. Because he still has, how many years left does he have on this deal? Is this his last year?
You'll have one more, yeah.
So 2025 is his last year on his current deal because he signed a 3-year deal before the 2023 season, right? Was it before?
Regardless, he's got one more year left.
So yeah, I mean, I still think it's a pretty I think it's still got a decent value on the contract for Jermaine Pratt. I mean, what is he going to be making? $7 million this season? He's still, I think, at least an average NFL linebacker. Even if the past 2 years have been a little bit of a drop off. So
this is very similar to me to the Joe Mixon scenario in the realm of the Bengals are probably going to cut Jermaine Pratt. Just like the Bengals were probably going to cut Joe Mixon, and they pretty much did. And then somebody swooped in and said, hey, we'll give you a 7th round pick because we want to get the first dibs on having Joe Mixon. So that's my assumption is that this will be one of those things that if somebody wants to come in there and give a 6th, the 7th, if they want to give a 5th, by all means, give it. But I just don't imagine. But I'm sure that the Bengals would really love to trade a 7th, get a 7th round pick back because they don't have one. This draft. They only have 6 picks right now. And you know Duke Tobin, he loves his picks, and he probably would like one in every single round. And yeah, so and would I, because I don't want to have to turn the draft off at 3 o'clock on that Saturday in April.
Yeah. We got 6 draft picks, and I don't think we're even scheduled to get a compensatory pick at all this season. I don't believe we are.
No. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to the Jermaine Pratt situation for sure. But I'm not really that worried about it, even in the least.
Now, I mean, you got to find a good replacement for him, obviously. And if Al Golden does want to run a 4-3, you're going to need 2 guys potentially, because I don't know about you. I don't know if ADG is really going to be the answer as one of the starters. He might be. This linebacking class in the draft, I'm not too bullish on. You have a few names like Barrett Carter, Danny Stutzman, Carson Schwesinger out of UCLA. Kaiser. I mean, you mean the best linebacker in this class is Jihad Campbell. And if you want to spend your first round draft pick on him, great. But the Bengals have never done that for a linebacker. And I don't think he's available.
Keith Rivers? 15.
Oh, shit. Okay, never mind. Forgot about Keith Rivers. That's the only one, right? Like, I thought
Was Takeo Spikes a first round pick?
I don't think I thought Takeo was a second round pick.
Now I don't even know why I'm thinking about it. He was 13th overall pick. So yes, okay. they have done it.
So they could spend a first round pick on John Campbell if they wanted to. But
it's been a while. Yeah. To say the least. It's been a while, to say the least. How about we jump into some offseason preview stuff here and go through some of the dates that are be coming up, because the first date of the offseason is on Tuesday. And to me,
the combine start this week too?
No, the combine does not start until next week, the 24th of February.
Okay.
But the first deadline is on Tuesday, and to me, it's a fascinating one because I think the Bengals have a big decision to make. And that is on Tuesday when the franchise tag window opens. Now, last year when the franchise tag window opens, I think it opened and within 5 minutes, they franchise tagged T. Higgins. Like, it was unbelievably quick as to how they did that. Now the question is, I mean, you look at their free agents this year. I mean, none of the free agents are going to get franchise tag. Like, B.J. Hill, not going to get it. Mike Hilton, not going to get it. Mike Kosicki, Von Bell, you know, obviously. But their one is T. Higgins. Now, they can franchise tag T. Higgins again. There is no rule that says anything against that. And I think it would be something around the realm of $26 to $27 million. I think is what it would be. It's a little bit more than the tag last year, but 26 to 27, somewhere in that range is what that number is going to be. If they franchise tag T, that opens up the opportunity for them to get an extension done. But then, if an extension is not done, that would also give them the opportunity to trade him and let him find a suitable partner out there that could then, and then you're getting a third, a fourth, a something round pick for T. Higgins, potentially even in this year's draft. I know you don't agree with this, Mick.
No.
But I think the Bengals should franchise tag T. Higgins this week.
No, I think it's bad business. Really bad business. I think, one, I'm against the franchise tag in general. I think
And we know you are, but it's part of the game.
I don't care. Especially tagging a player 2 years in a row. That is a signal to agents to not have their players come anywhere close to the Cincinnati Bengals.
And I think it's going to happen.
I don't think it will.
Because that will guarantee... Because, I mean... That will open up the opportunity, but I think he will not play on the franchise tag this year. Should be my next point with that is I think that would then have them sign him to a long-term extension or he will not be a Cincinnati Bengal next year. Because, and I think you would see that trade right before the draft because then they would want to use the draft to find a potential replacement for T. Higgins. But you also are of the opinion that T. Higgins will not be a Bengal next year, right?
I don't think he will be. I think he's priced himself too high. The market, there is a very slim pickings at the wide receiver position where pretty much I'd say half the teams, maybe at least 10 teams are in need of another really good starting wide receiver, the Bengals being one of them. But the Bengals have, unlike some of these other teams that are wide receiver needy, they don't have a quarterback on a $55 million a year contract. With however much he has guaranteed, like Joe has guaranteed.
Washington Commanders or the New England Patriots.
And some of these teams don't have another wide receiver one currently on the team that you are also looking to extend in Jamar Chase.
There was an interesting conversation too that happened. It was on the Growler with Paul Daner Jr. and Mo Egger. And I thought it was a fascinating question that Paul asked Mo. And he said, if you were T. Higgins, would you, let's just say the Bengals contract extension offers $25 million a year for 4 years. And the insert team here is, let's say the Patriots is 4 years for $30 million. Would you take less money to play with Joe Burrow and play in Cincinnati?
How much were you saying the Bengals would offer?
I just said 25 and 30. So $5, $5 million less per year, which I guess turns out to be $20 million at the end of year.
Yeah, I would never walk away from $20 million extra.
Or let's say,
and also where the guarantee is going to be. The question is, how much is New England going to offer in guarantee money compared to the Cincinnati Bengals?
Let's say the guarantees are very, very similar. You know, with that it's going to be fascinating to see how much the Joe Burrow factor plays into this. And my worry is the Bengals will think that the Joe Burrow factor means more than it actually does.
Yeah. And also I think the Bengals are also banking on the Joe Burrow factor that they could get a wide receiver in this draft and he can end up panning out to be a really good wide receiver in this league because of the Joe Burrow effect.
It is going to be very interesting to see what happens there. And I mean, even you could lure a free agent and get a free agent wide receiver too. Cause I mean, if you're a wide receiver in free agency, why the hell wouldn't you want to play with Joe Burrow?
Yeah. You got Josh Palmer's on the market.
Yeah.
I'd sign up for Josh Palmer, see what he can do in this offense. And you're paying him a quarter of the money you're paying T. Higgins. And then also you're looking for guys in the draft potentially.
It'll be interesting to see without question as to what happens there. So you're saying the Bengals will not tag him. I'm not asking you, do you think? I'm asking you what they will do.
I don't think they will do it.
Okay. Okay. It'll be interesting. You mentioned the scouting combine that runs the 24th through the 3rd. Do you watch this?
No, but I definitely keep track of how it goes. I think that factors a lot into the draft board. Pretty much everybody's draft board, how good these guys contest the combine. You've seen the combine kind of make or break players. I don't think Xavier Worthy was being tabbed as a first round draft pick until the combine happened. Yeah, I don't think John Ross was being considered as a top 10 draft pick until the combine happened. You know, and remember, on the other side,
remember who the pick was after John Ross?
Yeah. on the other side, like Orlando Brown Jr. was tabbed to be a first round draft pick until the combine happened and how bad of a combine that he had.
But so, just like we get legendary combine moments like the Andre Smith 40 yard dash. Yeah. But that's the 40 yard dash is the only thing I watch. And it's not like I watch it. It's more the highlights will pop up of either the guy like Andre Smith or Orlando Brown who run it incredibly slow. And I'm like, ooh, I might be able to beat them. Or you get the guys like Xavier Worthy or John Ross where it's like, whoa, like just lightning quick, or DJ Turner or something in that. But scouting combine, yeah, it'll be I'll just be interested in some of the news that comes out. But then I'm also interested with that is you get the first interviews. And I'll be interested to see who the Bengals interview during the scouting combine.
Yeah. No, I think that's always going to be the unknown, right? Like, who are the Bengals actually going to be really interested in this draft? I mean, you last year you saw the offensive tackles pretty much having conversations with the Bengals. I mean, Amari, I remember, and maybe the writing was on the wall all along now that we're looking back on it, that Amarius Mims was pretty much destined to be the first round pick of the Bengals last year because of how much, I mean, he seemed to be the combine darling of the Bengals, especially last year. I mean, I think that's where the Bengals really got a great look at him. So it's, I don't know, it's going to be a fun weekend. I'd be really interested to see who they interview.
Jacob asks, anybody heard about Micah Parsons coming to the Bengals? I saw it on Facebook. Don't know if it's fake news or if it's real. Jacob, it's fake news.
Yeah.
I listen, if there was any way that could happen, sign me up. But there's just no way. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd set the percentage at 0.00001. Maybe a couple more zeros in there. I guess it's never impossible, but yeah, no, it's not like it's happening. March the 10th, one of the least productive days at work for me every single year. That is the date that free agency opens for the Bengals and for the NFL. So the first thing, and I know we just mentioned this and we spent a couple of minutes talking about this, but your 100% prediction right now, like gun to your head, T. Higgins, what happens?
Signs elsewhere.
You gonna even drop a team here?
Patriots. Packers, Patriots.
Okay.
Panthers are also a huge contender, I think.
I'm going to say he signs an extension. That's my prediction for it. I'm going to say that they get an extension done with him. So to me, then you run into the next phase of Bengals free agents that I think will be interesting to see. So first off, I classify you've got your first group of the 30-ish guys, which is where the Bengals don't typically like to jump into. And I think the easiest way for us to do this is just to say, you know, do the Bengals re-sign him? Yes or no. B.J. Hill?
No. No.
Mike Hilton?
No.
I agree, no. But it wouldn't shock me if it's a one-year deal. Wouldn't shock me, but I don't think Mike Hilton wants a one-year deal, and I think he'll be able to get a two- or three-year deal somewhere else. Mike Gesicki, I put him in there. He'll be 20. He's 29. So he's in that realm.
Yes, I think they extend him.
What do you think? 2 years?
Yeah, I'd say 3 years, but you have an out after the second year.
So like 3 for 14 or something in that realm of, or 2 for 10.
Yeah, I mean, he's being valued at $7.5 million
really?
A year. I think I think that's what I saw. So I mean, I'm gonna say 3 years, 2021 at least.
Interesting. Von Bell?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. No. He'll be the least likely.
He'll be an Indianapolis Colt this year. Calling that.
Yeah, that's
because they need safeties bad over there. So
maybe Jermaine Pratt will be an Indianapolis Colt too. Maybe Louis will just take every Bengal guy. B.J. Hill, Mike Hilton. They might just all go up the road to Indianapolis. Then you got the young guys in there, like ADG.
I think they re-sign him.
This to me is an Al Golden decision.
Yeah.
Because Al Golden knows him. He coached him. You know, he coached him for what, 2 years? He probably had a voice in drafting him. You would think. Yeah. In the what, the fourth round? Was it fourth round? Fourth round, and yes, it was the first pick of the fourth round in 2020. So that one, I'm going to say yes, but it'll be a deal very similar to this one, and it wouldn't shock me if it's 1 year again.
Yeah.
Marco Wilson.
If he's cheap enough, yes. And I think he will be cheap enough, but also you got to look at, like, so who's currently on the roster? You got Dax Hill, CTB, Josh Newton. Newton. DJ Turner and DJ Ivy. And you're probably going to add, you're going to add another one or two in the draft, I would say.
And potentially a veteran corner in there too.
Yeah. He might be a practice squad guy. You know, they might sign him to like a Sidney Jones type of deal. But yeah.
Yeah. That's the exact name that I was thinking of when it comes in. This to me is one of the more interesting guys though, that's going to be on this entire thing. And that's Joseph Osai. And I think the answer is no, because I think some team is going to pay him more than he's worth, and the Bengals aren't going to budge on that, nor should they budge on that.
Yeah, I think Osai will be an overpay. Now, the Bengals still might overpay for him just because they need defensive end help. And although the draft has a lot of defensive end talent, the one thing I kind of came to realization when I was redoing my draft board and doing my mock draft this weekend was that a lot of these edge rushers are really considered 4-3 edge rush or 3-4 edge rushers. They're a little bit on the smaller side. All of them are around 240, 250 pounds. You know, and the Bengals are running a 4-3. They have typically had bigger edge rushers. I mean, Trey Hendrickson's about 280 pounds. Sam Hubbard's around the 265, 270 mark. You know, and there's only a few guys like early on in this draft in the edge rushing class that come anywhere close to that.
Yeah, and that's a great point that I don't know. I still think you're going to see somebody that are going to give a Carl Lawson-esque deal where they're just going to pay him more than he's really worth. Like the Jets did, when was that, 2020, 2021, whenever that was. I guess it was 19, 20.
And to be fair with the whole Carl Lawson thing, he kind of had the Trey Waynes situation happen where he just dealt with compounding injury after injury after injury to the point where he was just useless.
And I'm not saying that the contract that Joseph Osai is going to fail wherever he goes. He might, but I don't know.
The argument I'm making is that Carl Lawson was worth the money in the contract that he got as opposed to what Osai could potentially get.
Joe Bocci, I think, will be a...
He'll be back.
Yeah, I, from what I was reading, and I think even Paul Daner might have said this on one of his podcasts, apparently Al Golden loves Joe Bocci. Like, that is Al Golden's guy, is Joe Bocci. So I think there's no question. We might even see like a 5-year extension for Joe Bocci just because that's how much Al Golden loves himself some Joe Bocci. Jay Tufele.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a 1 year, like a, you know, you're coming in, you're competing for a spot, but you got to get a better Jay Tufele in this draft or in this free agency class or something, because you don't want Jay Tufele playing meaningful snaps in the 2025 season. Jacob asks, do you think they will keep Cam Taylor Britt? Yeah, without question. Taylor Britt will be back on the team next year. Yeah. And Deontay Smith.
Gone.
Yeah. I mean, coming off an injury, hadn't done anything. Unless his rehab is just going incredible, and you know this, and Scott Peters is like, oh man, I love myself some Deontay Smith. Yeah, no, I can't imagine that he'll be back. You're trying to replace Deontay Smith with a more capable Deontay Smith this offseason, whether it's in the draft, whether it's in free agency or something. You're trying to find something else. And then Cody Ford is also in this realm of, to me, is one of the easier re-signs for the Bengals, and I wouldn't be against signing him to a 2-year deal.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's earned his keep as a backup on this team. It's a guy that, as long as your center doesn't get hurt, he can pretty much play any spot on the offensive line, which, you know, the versatility he has, I think, is just a huge benefit for this team's depth.
Cut candidates. And I know we talked about this, but let's just really quick, do the Cincinnati Bengals cut this player? Yes or no? Sheldon Rankins. Next yes. one. I don't even think. Sam Hubbard. Yes.
Yeah, but I think they might bring him back on a much cheaper deal.
Yeah, and I would not be against that. If you can get Sam Hubbard for a 1-for-3, you know, or something, because I think Sam Hubbard would be a guy that would take a little bit less money to remain a Bengal. You know, his best friend's the quarterback. He's a Cincinnati kid, you know, through and through. So I don't imagine, but I think the contingency with that would be that Sam Hubbard is not playing meaningful snaps.
Or you know,
he is a rotational guy that is a leader in the locker room that is playing on rundowns, and you're hoping that maybe he can get healthy and maybe playing less will help him moving forward.
Yeah.
Alex Kappa. Yes.
Yeah. You can't. He's making too much for.
Yeah. They'd save $8 million. They'd save 9.6 with Hubbard, 8.6 with Rankins.
To me, now, I do think that an Alex Kappa, you know, you cut him and maybe it's a Sam Hubbard type of situation again where you can maybe re-sign him for a cheaper deal. Because even if we want to find a new starter, I think, again, he provides a good depth piece on the offensive line.
No, I don't know. I'm done. Seems like a nice guy from Humboldt State. Good luck, Alex. But yeah, no, no. Zach Moss. Yeah, I think, he'll get cut.
Probably, yeah.
And they'll try to find either the Zach Moss in the draft or another free agent Zach Moss to replace him. But also, we don't know with that neck. Like, a neck.
Yeah. Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
God, that's a tough injury. And it was kind of weird, too, with that whole thing that just all of a sudden it pops up. He's got a neck injury. And then it's like, oh, wait, he's out for the season. I don't know about you, but I was like, what? What the hell happened? Like, that was quick. So that to me is why he'll probably get cut. Cordell Volson would save $3.6 million.
Bring him back. I don't know if he probably shouldn't be starting, but again, yeah, you have a guy who's played meaningful snaps on the team. And you can never have enough depth on the offensive line. I'd keep him.
I'm fine either way on this. Like, I'm going to say they keep him, but I think it's 51-49. Like, it's really close as to which way they go, but maybe not as close as this decision. Geno Stone would save $6.5 million. This is not what we would do. This is what we think the Bengals would do. And you think that they're going to cut him?
Yeah, I don't think he's staying.
I agree too. You heard in Al Golden's press conference, he said one of the things he values the most is guys who can tackle.
that's not Geno Stone.
And yeah, so I think that'll be a Geno, that those interceptions that you had during that little stretch against Will Levis and Cooper Rush, they were fun, but good luck. I guess maybe he had one against DTR too. I think he might have won three straight weeks or something. I don't remember. Jermaine Pratt would save $5.6 million. Well, I think he's traded or cut.
Yeah, he's
not playing the picture. This one, I think, to me, is one that will say the opposite end. You could save $4.8 million by cutting Ted Karras, and I don't do that. Yeah,
they just extended him.
Yeah, and you would still save money. But yeah, no, I don't cut Ted Karras because, for one, he's a leader. Two, he was your second best offensive lineman last year.
He played really well last year.
Yeah.
He's been just Mr. Consistent, I think, on this offensive line. I mean, year in and year out. Really, I think that's been the MO his entire career. Ted Karras isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I can't imagine that he is, but he's at least on this list for sure. And then it jumps into free agency. Again, so free agency opens March the 10th. So March the 10th at like 11 a.m. or noon Eastern time is when they can begin negotiating or legal tampering or whatever the hell they call it. So that's when they sign guys, but they can't officially sign them until 2 days later on the 12th, which I still think is the stupidest. Like, they've signed deals. Like, what are we doing? But still, you think back to a couple of years ago where we were like 10 minutes into free agency, into that legal tampering, and the Bengals signed two guys, Alex Kappa and Ted Karras. I don't know that we're going to see that quick of a deal this time, but we could. We talked about this during our mock offseason last time out, but who is your like number one free agent? Like, if I told you the Cincinnati Bengals signed this guy, you're like, hell yeah. Whether this is realistic or if you want to dream a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm going to go the realistic route because there's no point. And you know, I can't say there isn't a point because we did sign Orlando Brown Jr. 2 years
ago. We did. And I think both of us would have classified that in the dream category.
Yeah. My favorite guy that I think that the Bengals should definitely take a stab at is Tevin Jenkins, offensive lineman from the Chicago Bears. That hasn't changed from the last time we did our podcast. He's played really well when he's played in Chicago. I mean, last year posted a 75 offensive grade, 76 pass block, 74 run blocking grade. Is generally just graded really well. Throughout his career, and is equal, it seems like he's equally good at pass blocking and run blocking. I think that would be my dream pick,
and I think that's very realistic too.
Yeah,
I think that's very realistic. Mine, I'll go on the opposite side of the ball, and I talked about this. It's Milton Williams.
Like you love Williams.
I don't know if it's realistic. I don't know that it's not. Like, what do you think? Is it? I don't think it's quite dreaming, but it's not realistic. It's what's in between dreaming and realistic. I feel like it's that. I don't know what tier it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just.
But I think do you get what I'm saying there? That I don't know that it's 100% realistic. Like
he's not going to break. He's not going to break.
No, he's not. But it'll probably be $20 to $22 million. You know, in that realm per year, which is something the Bengals can't afford, especially if they let T. Higgins walk or they trade Trey Hendrickson. But I mean, you saw him in the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, what people say is the downside to Milton Williams, or the question with Milton Williams is, okay, let's put you on a defensive line where you don't have Jalen Carter next to you. Can you still produce? And that is a genuine question. It is a genuine question. But I think it's worth the try for the Bengals. They need something in the middle. We started the show talking about Geno Atkins. They haven't had a dude in the middle of the defensive line since Geno Atkins retired or left or whatever the hell it was, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. And really, it's been a decade because Geno wasn't Geno those last couple of years.
Yeah, and if you and unless if you want to put all of your eggs in the Chris Jenkins basket,
no,
you need to find another guy in there, whether through the draft or through free agency. On the defensive side of the ball, I'll add another name.
Okay, go for it.
Because of I'm kind of worried about this edge rusher class and how these guys kind of translate to a 4-3 edge rusher, because there's only a few guys that I really like in that capacity in this draft. But Chase Young.
Ooh, we didn't actually mention him on the last show.
We didn't. Now, I know the question... I don't even know how valid the question is. Like I've heard people questioning work ethic from Chase Young. And I think it's mostly because I think he's had like, would you say it's safe to say he's kind of had that like Jadeveon Clowney level of career where, you know, he was supposed to be this generational pass rusher.
He's supposed to be Myles Garrett.
Yeah. He was supposed to be as good as Myles Garrett. And, albeit, I think he still has played pretty good football throughout his career. I mean, he had 7 sacks last year. His pass rush grade wasn't as great, but he's consistently graded in the 70s. And, you know, it's he's only valued at $17 million per year on Spot Rack. Now that could go up to 20 pretty easily, considering the edge rushing talent or lack thereof in this free agent class. But yeah, I think that's another guy. If the Bengals got him, I would be happy about. Also, he needs to, you know, reunite with Joe Burrow.
Jeff Okuda after that, Andrew Thomas. Like, let's just start getting the 2020 draft class. Isaiah Simmons, you know. Although Isaiah Simmons, he was somebody that I thought was going to be really good. He is not.
He's too much.
He's a tweener.
He's too much of a tweener prospect, which kind of stinks because, like, and not to get too off topic here with Isaiah Simmons, like, what happens if he was in the Mike McDonald defense of the Ravens playing in that Kyle Hamilton type of role? Mm-hmm. You know, like, how would we be talking Isaiah Simmons as a defensive player of the year candidate if that ended up being the case? So, just an interesting thought.
Yeah, 100%. I do agree with that. But I think it'll be interesting to see who the Bengals go for. Chase Young would be great. You know, that would be because I think the best part about that is the Bengals need to make at least one swing in free agency, especially if T. Higgins signs elsewhere. Especially if they don't get a deal done. They need to make a deal that is going to make the fans go, yeah. You know? Chase Young, I think, would do that. Milton Williams would do that. Tevin Jenkins, I don't think, would make people go, yeah. But I think the people that really know football and know the ins and outs would go, oh, yeah, that's a good deal because you're protecting your most important asset, and that is, you know, number 9 back there. But again, free agency opens in less than a month on March the 10th. Our next 2 shows that we'll do, we're going to dive all the way into free agency. We're going to go all the way into some offensive targets. That's when we'll talk about some offensive linemen. We'll talk about some tight ends. You know, maybe if Mike Gesicki doesn't re-sign, who's another tight end that we could do, wide receivers, running backs, and so on, that we'll discuss into next week, or I guess 2 weeks tonight for the show for that. And then the week after that, we'll go all the way into defensive guys. Yeah, well, we'll talk Milton Williams. We'll talk, you know, Chase Young and so on. Yeah. All righty. The next part of the offseason, from April 24th to April 26th, is one of our favorite weekends of the year. To me, it's the second. It's my second favorite weekend of the entire season, of the entire calendar year. The best weekend will always be the first weekend of March Madness. Always be that. But the second best weekend to me is the NFL draft weekend.
Yeah, because I'd say that the best 2 days for me are the first 2 days of the NFL draft.
Yeah, see, it won't live up to March Madness just because I love March Madness. Love it. Watch every game I can and so on. But the draft I love. And the Bengals' first round pick this year is going to be very, very, very interesting. You have come up with a mock draft for this for the Bengals. Do you want me to give yours first, or should we talk about Paul Daner Jr.'s mock draft that he released on Friday as well? Which would you like to go first? Would you like to grade his, or would you like to give yours first?
Let's go ahead and do Daner's.
Okay. Paul Daner Jr.'s mock draft as released in The Athletic. Highly recommend subscribing if you don't already. His first round pick out of Oregon. Defensive lineman Derek Harmon. Sounds like you're not a fan.
Not particularly of Derek Harmon. He's okay. I don't know. I think there's better defensive tackles in this class, especially even later in the draft. I mean, that's, you know, so if Derek Harmon got picked by Paul Diener, I'm assuming Walter Dolan probably got picked before him by some other team, I would think. But there's other guys in this draft that I would probably take above Derek Harmon. You got guys like TJ Sanders from South Carolina, Alfred Collins out of Texas, who are had to be day two picks, probably second round picks that I'd rather take over Derek Harmon. The grading hasn't been great. It's been okay for Derek Harmon. I'm pulling that up right now. 83 defensive grade, which is fine. It's about, you know, 60th percentile of the three tech class. His traits have been probably about the same. Kind of a middle of the road prospect. I just don't see the first round grade on him.
The second round pick is one that I think you're going to see mocked a lot to the Bengals. A lot. And I think you can probably even guess where I'm going to go with this. It's going to be the most common one. I think I mocked it when we did it last week.
Jack Sawyer.
Xavier Watts.
Xavier Watts. Notre Dame.
I mean, the Bengals have especially if you cut Geno Stone, you have a slot at safety and you're filling in a guy who had a great career at Notre Dame, you know, picked off 13 passes, didn't allow a touchdown reception of the last two seasons. You know, he's not an elite athlete by any stretch, as Paul says here, but he's just a solid safety. And honestly, for what the Bengals have dealt with the past couple of years, I think they'd be fine with solid in the back end.
Yeah, and I still think he's like fairly athletic. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that
he's probably not gangbusters. He's not going to be breaking the 40-yard dash record or anything. But when I see Xavier Watts on the field, I see a guy that moves fairly nimble in the safety position and a guy that plays extremely tough football. So, I mean, I would be a fan of having Xavier Watts on the team. Not to spoil too much of the draft, but I was really torn between him and another prospect, and I went with the other guy in my second round.
That's what we call a tease in this business. I like that.
But I do love Xavier Watts. He's a good pick.
Round three, he went with Princely Umanmielen.
Ooh.
Edge out of Ole Miss. I don't know. Was that a, ooh, like I love that, or that was an, ooh, like, ooh, I don't like that one that much?
No, I love Princely Umanmielen. A couple of things though. He is more undersized, really more of a 3-4 edge than a 4-3 edge. So I'm not too sold on that. And then the other thing is I think he's probably off the board before the Bengals pick at 81.
Round four, Luke Kandra, however you say it, offensive guard from the University of Cincinnati.
Yeah, good pick. Actually, really, really good pick. Let me see where he's at on my board.
So this would be pick 118 is where he's getting this guy.
I've got Luke Kondra pretty high up on my board. If we're looking at the grading and the trades amongst guards, out of all the guards, 77th percentile in grading, 96th percentile in athletic traits. Getting him as a fourth round draft pick again, I don't know. I think that his draft profile is good enough where he could get selected higher, but right now on the consensus board, he is at 158. So, I mean, yeah, I'd be stoked for that pick.
Damian Martinez, running back from Miami, was his fifth round pick. 6 foot, 230 pound, more of a bruiser. Back-to-back 1,000 yard seasons, Oregon State and Miami was his fifth round pick. And I haven't gotten into though. I think your day three running back is. Yeah, I feel pretty good about the Bengals making a day three running back pick.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he definitely fits that, that, like you said, that bruiser mold. And that's the type of running back I think that that they need in that room. If you're not going to bring back Khalil Herbert, which there's a good chance they might, I think Damian Martinez would be a good change of pace from what Chase Brown is, for sure.
And then in the sixth round, his final pick, linebacker from Ohio State, Cody Simon.
Okay.
Who, I'll be honest, I got nothing on him.
I haven't gotten too far on him. I'm trying to see where he's at on my draft board. Is he an? I guess he's an off-ball linebacker because he's not showing up on my inside linebacker list.
He's just listed here as a linebacker from this.
So 199th on the consensus board. I've got 89th percentile.
And this is the 195th pick. So
22nd percentile in athletic traits. Right now he's 153 on my board. So yeah, I've got a better value on him than what the consensus is. So I would say good pick.
All right. So you say overall you would be pretty happy if this was the Bengals draft.
Yeah.
Derek Harmon, Xavier Watts. Yeah, so it'll be
other than the Derek Harmon pick, I'm on board with every single one of those picks from Diener.
All righty, so that's Paul Diener's pick. What is yours?
So my first round pick.
And this is my first hearing this, so I don't know. Something tells me I'm guessing here, and I feel pretty confident in my guess as to who you're mocking. And back me up here that I do not know what your mock draft is. I do not.
Yeah, I think you're going to be wrong. Who are you guessing?
Oh, so it's not Walter Nolan.
No. So unfortunately, I do a mock for every team, right? So Walter Nolan was picked by the Cardinals in my mock draft, one pick before the Bengals, or else Walter Nolan would be the guy I'm discussing here.
James Pierce?
No, because again, of the 3-4 edge versus a 4-3 edge, James Pierce is undersized to be, I think he's too undersized to be in the 4-3 edge role.
So who did you go with then?
I went with Jahdae Barron, corner. Nickelback, whatever you want to call him, out of Texas. Fifth-year senior, had a really, really good year in 2024. Played more outside corner this year than slot corner, but I think he's going to translate more to slot corner in the NFL. But we saw his best grading yet, an elite coverage grade of a 91. A very versatile defensive back, which I know that Lou's gone, but I guarantee that the versatility I think that the front office, the scouts, the coaches are still going to want versatile defensive players. Five interceptions in 2024. His passer rating allowed was a 34.2 when targeted. I think that this would be a slam dunk pick for the Bengals.
Okay, that's your first round pick. Okay, who's your second?
So I was really torn between Xavier Watts. And that's probably the more likely pick, but I went with the guy I like more in a pick that I think would be more of a need than safety. And that's Alfred Collins, defensive tackle out of Texas, fifth-year senior. Again, really versatile. I think this guy could play nose. He could play three tech, and he could play a five tech defensive end if he really needed to. 6'2", 320 pounds. He's got decent size to him.
He's 6'5" here, at least. This is what this
or
is.
My bad. 6'5", 320 pounds.
I was going to say 6'2", 320 is a big old boy. Yeah. I mean, 6'5", 320 is a big dude, too.
So, that's where, like, I think that the three-tech nose tackle role, like, he could really be interchanged at any of those roles. Great against the run. 27 run stops in 2024. And only a 3% missed tackle rate. Like those are fantastic numbers. And I'd be stoked to have him on the team.
Okay. Interesting. Your first two picks, you've gone defensive line and you've gone corner. So you got to go offense the next round, right?
Nope.
Ooh.
We're going to stick with one of my third round picks from the mock offseason, Kevin Winston Jr., safety out of Penn State. 2024 was cut short, but he had an elite year in 2023. 89 defensive grade, 91 run defense, 87 coverage grade, had 21 run stops as a safety in 2023.
That's a couple.
I think he fits that mold, that Xavier Watts type of mold, that tough looking, always looking for a tackle. Type of player that Al Golden wants on his defense.
Okay, so that's your first day down. Did you go all the way? Did you go to the sixth round?
I only did a 3-round mock for this.
Okay, so those are your three picks. So you've gone Kevin Winston Jr. You did the defensive tackle,
Alfred Collins,
and then the corner. Okay, so you went defense. You got to fix the defense to open us up here for the mock draft. Interesting.
Yeah, it's really just who's the best player on your board, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if it's at a position of need and it's the best player on your board, take them. You know, if they're, yeah, don't push a wide receiver if you don't have to. Don't push an offensive lineman if you don't have to. And a lot of things are going to get cleared up too when this free agency period kicks in. You could have, some of these starting roles could definitely get filled. Like you said, you can find a Tevin Jenkins in free agency. Your guard need is probably diminished a little bit compared to what it was beforehand and whatnot. So,
or it's a bigger need going into the draft because you miss on a couple of guards and you're left with Cody Ford potentially being your starting left guard.
Could be. Yeah.
Which is possible as well. All righty. There's mixed mock draft, and that's the Bengals offseason. As to what it'll look like, after the draft, you go into OTAs, you go into training camp, we get the schedule released, which will be interesting to see where the Bengals will be playing week one. Probably not in Cincinnati, because if my memory's right, the Reds are at home that week. So probably not in Cincinnati. Where could it be, though? Who knows? We'll have a mock schedule as well that'll come out later on this offseason. I enjoyed that last year. That was one of my favorite shows that we did, the mock schedule. To see who could do it.
We didn't end up doing too bad on it either.
I mean, I nailed the one week four at Carolina, did I not? I mean, I nailed that one. That one pretty good. So I guarantee you that'll probably be at Green Bay. Will be that week too. Whatever week our state conference lands on, that'll be at Green Bay. I guarantee it. That's just going to be my luck every single year. The one that we were looking to go to travel to is just going to end that way. Next week we will not have a show. We're going to take the week off we'll take the week off next Sunday. So two Sundays from now, March the 2nd, we're going to have our offensive free agent preview show. So we're going to go all the way into offensive free agents, give you the names on the wide receivers, tight ends, offensive line that we think the Bengals should be looking at, and so on. Then the week after, which is March the 9th, defensive free agency preview. We'll list all of the names that we think on the defense. And then for a couple of weeks, we'll just talk all about reaction to who the Bengals sign or who they don't sign or who they lose and so on. And then, starting in April, we'll dive all the way into the draft. We go pretty nerdy when it comes to the draft. I think we both admit that we both like to dive all the way into that. And then, right before the draft, the Wednesday before the draft, we'll have our, I think we're going to say it's our new tradition, that the Wednesday before the draft, we invite on a couple of our compatriots and do a live first round mock draft. Last year, we were fine.
I think we did all right last year.
We did. See, the toughest part for us last year is that we didn't do any trades. and there were a ton of trades. Because trades just get too messy. They get way too messy.
It's too hard to do the trades. Yeah, just.
But I think we did pretty good. I missed on the Bengals pick, but also the guy that I was going to pick was off the board by the time the Bengals went, but he was on the board for me. Remember, I went with Byron Murphy. And Amarius Mims, if my memory's right, in our mock draft, I think he went to like the Steelers, like, or maybe even further down the line than that. I don't even remember.
Yeah, because last year, me and Tommy, I think both went with, it was either me and Tommy or me and Schubert, both went with Troy Faltanu out of Washington, who ended up going to the Steelers. And then two of us went with Byron Murphy, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we tied, and then the tiebreaker that we ended up going with was that since I was the AF the North representative, that I got the tiebreaker into that, and we'll probably do the same thing as to whoever has the tiebreaker. So here it was last year. So yes, we had Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, got that. Marvin Harrison Jr. So we got the first four right. Then we went Malik Nabers to the Chargers. So we missed there.
Wrong.
Rome Odunze to the Giants. We got that wrong. But in our defense, if we would have known that the Chargers weren't going to take Malik Nabers, that we probably would have had Malik Nabers to the Giants.
Yeah.
Joe Alt to the Titans. That was wrong. Dallas Turner to the Falcons. Yeah, I don't think we had Falcons taking Michael Penix on our draft board. In fact, Michael Penix was not even drafted in the first round.
We didn't have the Titans getting J.C. Latham either like that. No. So, I mean, we had the right thought process there of going with
trying
the
to see. Here. Let's see if we got any other. Oh, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings.
I got Jared Verse right. I remember that.
Jared Verse. Yep. We got that one right to the Rams. Mims went to the Eagles. That's what it was.
Okay.
Tyler Guyton. He did end up at the Cowboys, didn't he?
He did. That was a Tommy. Right. That was a Tommy. Yeah, and I think that was happening.
If my memory was right, we were even like, ooh, really, Tommy? And I'm looking here, and I don't think we got any of these other ones right.
Chop Robinson? Where do we have Chop Robinson going?
To the Cardinals. We did not get that right. So we doing this. Morgan is oddly good at calling draft picks. Morgan is really good at it. Deep taking first-round picks. Interesting. Maybe Morgan will be one of our representatives. I don't know. Who will be our representatives? No, we can't
have a Steelers fan on here. No.
He turned down my great trade offer for him. I think it was more than fair. I thought it was. But yeah, so we'll do that again in a couple of weeks, and I enjoy it whenever we do it. But we'll see in a couple of weeks. Got any parting thoughts? Or I guess did you have any Super Bowl thoughts? Do we have to talk about that since we haven't talked since the Super Bowl?
It was a good time. I had a really good Super Bowl. How about you?
Yeah, it was nice. The evil empire finally fell. And I think they were kind of exposed for being kind of fraud. Like, I just at some point, their luck had to run out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's really the Chiefs got exposed. I mean, they went 15-2.
The Eagles are really good, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it had more to do with that Eagles defense. Is 100% who they thought they were, who we thought they were, in the words of Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were. But yeah, that Eagles defense, I think we've both have absolutely praised them for the entire season. That front four was absolutely menacing against the Chiefs offensive line on Super Bowl Sunday. It's probably the best. I'd say the best defense I've seen since 2015 Broncos. I don't even think it's close. But yeah, it was.
I mean, 2024 Bengals is right up there.
Yeah,
right up there. It's right up there with them. I mean, play here, play there. But yeah, it. Now the hope is that Al Golden is Vic Fangio.
One can only hope.
If he's half of Vic Fangio.
If our defense is mid, I'm okay.
Yeah,
we're
if it's
okay.
The 15th best defense, the Bengals have a chance to win the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah.
They're the 15th best. And if they're higher than that, then they're one of the favorites. If they somehow pull out the Eagles defense, then it's game over. We're going to be burning down the streets in Cincinnati, doing a live jungle juice on the streets of Fountain Square, outside Fountain Square for a Super Bowl parade.
Why Fountain Square? Nothing happens on Fountain Square anymore.
If the Bengals Super Bowl parade would absolutely be going past Fountain Square.
Yeah, but go to like the banks or something.
That's okay. Yeah.
Way, that's way more.
Mick's going to be throwing a beer at Duke Tobin, right?
Yeah.
I guess that would be the person you'd have to throw a beer at, right? Because he's our Howie Roseman.
He is.
Okay. Except I don't think Duke Tobin would take it as well as Howie Roseman did.
He might. I don't know. We haven't seen Duke in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, if the Bengals win the Super Bowl, I literally Cincinnati might not be standing by the end of it because I think we just burn it down in celebration. We'll see you here in a couple of weeks. Have a great week. Remember to follow us on our social media channels, subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform, and we'll see you back here in 2 weeks for an offensive free agency preview. Mick, Kuday.
Kuday. Thanks for watching.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.